Company Podcast. Visit www.webcomics.co.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good night, wherever you are, and welcome to the Webcomics Company Podcast. We have him here in the virtual studio today, Luke Healy of SwanneeNuke.com.
Hello.
Matt Dyson of Mookio.com.
Hello.
Zoe Jennifer Kirk Robinson of ZoeRobinson.com. .com and many, many other things. Have I done that right, or is it .net?
No, it's .com. Hello and thank you.
.com. I did get it right the first time. And I am Luxel of Luxel.com. And today we are going to be discussing how to get better, both in writing and in artistic sensibilities.
And just so, in your life.
Just become a better human being. Look at look what you're doing right now. You can be better. Come on. This is going to be a half-hour motivational talk.
By the end, you'll just be the perfect person. I'm sure of it.
And if you, while listening to here, feel a burning desire to correct us or otherwise comment on what we have said, you can find information on how to do that at webcomics.co. Okay, so do we feel that we have improved since starting our respective webcomics? I know, Luke, you actually restarted your comic with what I think is an improved art style.
Hey, thanks. I agree. Oh my gosh. Even since restarting it, and because I'm a terrible human being / webcomic person, I'm just finishing the 33rd page as we speak. Oh my gosh. Even in those last 30 pages, the improvement, to me anyway, is enormous. So it's the kind of thing that I think you only really get hit with it when you look back at the stuff that you thought was great, and then soul crushingly, it's not great.
I remember I go through and look at sort of stuff which is sort of anything below about 100 of my comics. I look at that and go, oh man, that is terrifying.
I don't.
And I remember how proud I was at the time, and how much I was sort of pushing that around and saying, which is probably a good thing that I was proud of what I was producing.
Yeah, it shows confidence.
I like to think that the fact that I do look back at stuff I was doing a year and a half ago and think, is a sign that I have improved my standards otherwise.
Yeah, it's a good thing. If you can look back and think, yes, that was good for then, but it's not good now, then that's showing that you're improving. But more than that, don't continue to look back and go, oh no, I was terrible. What if what I'm doing now is terrible? Because, yeah, it's compared to what you're going to be like, it's going to be bad.
That's the way it is. I think, have you guys ever read a comic called The Meek?
No.
No.
Yes. I'm trying to... I have... But describe it, because I have...
It's quite complicated. It's kind of like a part political thriller, part adventure about a girl with green hair, and the main thing, the point I was going to make is it has like unbelievably gorgeous art. It's crazy how nice this comic looks.
Geekcomic.com. We'll try and put a link in that in the show notes, perhaps, if we remember in the end.
That would be good.
I've heard of this, but I don't think I've actually seen it before. That is beautiful.
It's absolutely just gorgeous. Like, and I follow the creator on Twitter, and they said, I remember one day them just being like, "Oh, my art is so terrible," and I just, you know, when you look at it, and it's so pretty, and they're at that such a great level, that, and they still think their art is bad. I think it just really proves that no matter what stage you get to, you're always going to be very critical about your own work.
I think that's the sort of perennial state of being of the artist, really.
It seems to be, doesn't it?
To a point, you've got to have that, though, because you're never going to ever keep on getting better, and you're only going to fall into a false sense of security if you ever finally love what you do. I don't know. I always tend to like what I do for a little bit. I think, oh, that strip turned out really well, or this storyline turned out really, really well. It's much better than the last one. It looks so much better. And gosh, it's definitely better than some of the stuff in the early archives, visuals-wise. But if you don't keep striving to keep on doing things a little bit better than you've always done, then you'll never move anywhere. You'll never do that thing that we're talking about. You'll never get better. It's like at the moment I just picked up a load of books about detailed facial expressions, and I've been doing a crossover for George Biedma, who does The Mighty Jambo, a fantastic comic if you haven't seen it. It's sort of like a semi-parody superheroes, and he's doing a crossover at the moment where a couple of his main characters have fallen into kind of like a vortex created by a super evil villain that's making them fall into other people's comics. So I've had this really cool chance to do these two superheroes in the Mu and Kyo universe, and having done that, I've had a chance to sit down over the last couple of weeks and play around with things that I'm not comfortable with, like proper full-on action scenes, and especially warping that into my own style has been very challenging, and it's something I've never done before. But grabbing hold of something you've never done before and giving it a good whirl is probably the best thing you can do.
Definitely, because at some point we've never picked up a pencil and done our comic, so you've got to keep pushing yourself. I remember I was reading it, I think it was in Comic Heroes, there was an artist interviewed there where he was talking about the different styles that are in 2000 AD and how the artists fell into two categories, the good enoughs and the ones that were always pushing the envelope. And what he was saying was, yeah, the good enoughs, they've got good artwork and they'll always have consistently good artwork, but they'll never get better. And the guys that are always pushing it, they may not always succeed, but they're the ones that you're going to be interested in and that you're going to turn to straight away when they're in the comic. I just thought that was
one
a good
thing
point.
I find is a bit of a double-edged sword in terms of trying to improve what I do is the regular update schedule, which I've kept fairly strictly and fairly well to, which it does keep me doing stuff, it does keep me drawing, but what I sometimes find is that I end up drawing simple things that I know I can do, because I know I've got to get a comic out by the end of today. And I go, right, well, I'll draw this. I know how to draw that. I know how to draw that element, that element, that element. It all fits together. And I worry that because I feel I need to get a comic out, I end up drawing things that don't push me as hard. So
yes.
I'm wondering about switching to a updates when I feel when I'm finished and happy with what I've done schedule rather than the regular one, although whether I would be disciplined under that routine to actually still produce enough as much work as I could.
Well, sometimes you can try and stimulate that in your writing a little bit and purposely put yourself in situations in your writing where you've got to draw something that you're not particularly comfortable with. I know for a fact I'm writing my next storyline at the moment, some stuff in there that I have never drawn before, and I'm still not quite sure how I'm going to manage it yet, but I put it in there anyway because it works for the story, and I know I'll get a good, I can probably end up being okay, and if not then I'll just delay a page a few days and get around it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I don't think that you can ever really be too ambitious. I think you can definitely pick something that'll end up costing you way too much time, and maybe it won't turn out perfect. But, you know, you're never ever going to be able to draw that or, you know, write like a convincing character if you don't try. Mm-hmm. So the biggest, at the end of the day, we're going to keep coming back to this, I imagine, during this episode, is that practice is the way to get better. It's not like a cliched piece of advice for no reason.
Yeah, it's true.
I was just going to say, actually, I'd expand on that slightly and say, I think the only way to do it in a way is almost fail. Failure, because the more you fail, the more you're going to be able to know what not to do and how to get around it. Where if you always just happen to stumble upon the exact way to do something every single time, then you're not really going to learn anything.
And that's extremely unlikely to happen. You know what I mean? Unless you're some kind of amazing, super genius, failure is probably going to be in your life. I hate to be the one to break that news to everyone listening, but sometimes you're not going to do great stuff. But
I think there are so many people out there that will have those initial one or two failures and then think, oh, well, I'm not really up for this. I'm failing. I'm not really made cut out to do this. It doesn't mean that you're not cut out to do this. It just means you need to keep going. We all fail. I suck all the time.
Yeah, it's true. And well, that's not true, but it is true. If you try something and you succeed straight away.
Too, Zoe.
Thank you. I meant that. I didn't mean that as an insult. Did it come across as an insult?
No, it didn't, but it made me laugh.
Oh, that's okay. You got me worried there. But what I'm saying is, if you try something and you succeed, then great. You know how to succeed in that certain particular set of circumstances. But if you try something and fail, you know that that doesn't work. And then you can try another thing and see if that works instead. I think it was it Thomas Edison? He says he invented 100 ways to not make a light bulb.
Yeah, that's the famous adage. Although Thomas Edison totally didn't invent the light bulb.
I know.
No, he did not.
It's such a terrible. Can you imagine having invented the light bulb and then just being totally ripped off like that?
Well,
awful.
It happens a lot in inventions. Alexander Graham Bell, he didn't invent the telephone on his own. There was another guy who had a similar system, and Bell got there first at the patent office.
Oh, I'm just really glad that everybody knows about my really cool comic Swanny Nook.
yeah. You deserve a lot of credit for that one, I think.
Yeah, I think I do.
Oh, don't worry, nobody's lining up to congratulate.
Okay.
That's Swanny Nook, trust me.
Well, now that we've cleared that one. One thing which is maybe a bit more technical than is working through various books and guides, and there are quite a few online guides you can find, and then there's an infinite number of practice drawing books. Do you guys have any particular recommendations? As regards,
my biggest recommendation would be, if you are going to draw people, practice very hard at drawing people from photographs as well as from all of those books. Because the books will show you how to draw, great. If you want to actually draw people, that's great. If you want to draw a variety of people and not just the style of picture that's in those books, get some photographs.
Yeah, you're never ever going to be able to learn how to draw 100% from a book. You have to draw from life.
Yes.
You just have to. And I think it's a pitfall that a lot of people fall into. I remember an art teacher of mine saying this to me, is that they draw what they think something looks like, not what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you need to put a lamp on a desk in your comic, instead of drawing in your mind, it's got a shade, it's got a base, look at a lamp and then draw that. Because it will look more like a lamp, which sounds really silly, but that's just the way it goes. I mean, when you draw stuff from memory or from your imagination, you leave out things. And it ends up making the final product like a little bit worse.
Mm-hmm.
So referencing is important.
Flickr is your friend. Flickr is a hugely good reference. I mean, Google Image Search seems to do the first port of call for everyone. However, it is not nearly as good as Flickr sometimes for reference photos, because Flickr is kind of like the cream of the crop. Mm-hmm. Google Image Search not only searches everybody's photos and everything, but it'll search all the images on a website, be that a tiny, grainy stock photo or like just a button or a banner. If you're searching on Flickr, you're just searching people's photos, and there are a lot more genuinely real people on Flickr than there are in half the corporate images that get indexed by Google. So you're more likely to be able to get a better quality photo to reference. And you can even search, if you're worried about things like that and you want to do everything properly, you can even search by things that are in Creative Commons license and things like that on Flickr, and make sure you've got things that there are lots of people that put actual reference photos, proper model reference photos for anatomy and what on Flickr. It's a wonderful, wonderful resource.
It is good. DeviantArt's good as well. They have a filter for stock images and reference images that is great.
You can just DeviantArt is good. There are some group dev art which I might send links to on the website for. It's groups that collect together a lot of stock images. I've got a few of them linked in my creative bookmarks folder.
Cool.
One thing I will say that you really do just need to learn, and you probably do need to find some technical instruction, and this is perspective. Because I think basically humanity went until about the 13th century before anybody figured out how to do perspective. I don't think it's something... It definitely didn't come naturally to me. I had to just learn that horizon crosses at the level of at the eye line of the observer. So you could hit the eye line and things like that, and just general vanishing points. I think that just needs to be almost learned.
Yeah, it's true.
I still suck at perspective. I've got just picked up a couple of really good books to help me out. I don't have them handy, so I can't remember the title. One of them, I think, is called Perspective for Comic Book Artists. But again, I'll try and give the links to those on Amazon to Zoe for the blog post. But get a book, learn it. It's the only way to do it.
Yeah. 1 and 2 point perspective are actually fairly straightforward, and that covers a lot of what you might need.
I remember one guy. He actually is an artist for, I think it's DC Comics. And he was tweeting the other day saying 3 point perspective art jobs are horrible. So if you don't like perspective, don't worry, because dropping artists in the real world don't like them either.
Yeah, and a lot of it can, especially if you're kind of new into making making art, I suppose. This is the most, well, that's like the least elegant way I could put it. A lot of this can sound daunting. Like, a lot of people can come in and talk about the rules of perspective and the rules of anatomy and all this kind of stuff. But you will get to a point where it's completely instinctual and you won't have to think about it. Or at least, the little things will be, certain things will be. So it's like a progression. And when you're starting out, the learning curve can seem quite steep. But, you know, so long as you're drawing every day and you're really putting effort into getting it right, it will become second nature in no time. So it's not always going to be a struggle to set up, you know, like a 2-point perspective picture.
Yeah. And moreover, the webcomic the webcomic community is quite forgiving in terms of art. So don't feel like you have to become perfect before you even start putting your comic out.
Oh, definitely.
No, well, it's not.
The most important thing is to start, or else you never will.
Exactly.
Exactly. You can get better along the way. I mean, I bring it up every time we get an example like this, but go to Questionable Content. Jeff Jacks's webcomic is one of the most popular webcomics on the internet today. Go and have a look at the first ever strip that he did. Have a look at today's strip. Yet if you read from strip 1 to today's strip, right through the archives in order, you will never want to notice his art changing. He started off not nearly the same level of art as he is now, and he's one of the most honed artists in the webcomic community. And yeah, he still hates his stuff. But the final thing that I was going to add that was in my head that I wanted to add to this was, do not listen to every single piece of criticism. By all means, take things on board if you think that they're right. However, I will tell you this now, along the line, at least one person is going to tell you you suck, and that your work sucks, and that it's just a pile of crap. And a lot of the time, yep. It's just plowing through that and saying, well, okay, that's fair enough. Taking what you want from that, but move on. Don't stop, don't let it get you down, and just keep on going on. And I know that's much harder to do than it sounds.
Yeah.
But at some point, you're going to come across that. Everybody will.
Yeah, I think we did a podcast on criticism earlier on. Or maybe I'm imagining that.
We did.
Maybe we'll do it in the future.
We definitely had a one on criticism. Sorry, go on.
One, changing perspective slightly. So far we've generally talked about improving art. There are ways of doing. One thing I find more difficult, and I'd appreciate some thoughts on this myself, is how do you improve your writing? Because that there are less, or at least there are fewer guides that I can find on don't do this, do this, do this. And there's not no such thing as sort of like perspective for writing and such.
As someone who writes for a living, I've had to learn quite a lot about the different styles of writing. And what I would say is, go for the books again, just like we were talking about with the art. There are certain books that are really must reads if you want to craft a story. Sorry, what's that noise?
It's somebody typing.
Fair enough. Right. There's a book by Alston Scott Card on writing science fiction. I can't remember what it's called, but I'll find it and put it in the show notes. There's a book called The 101 Worst Fiction Writing Mistakes. That's well worth reading. The Craft of Writing, I think it's called as well. I'll put links into the show notes. These are books that, if you want to write a story, these guys have not only researched how to do it and how not to do it, but they've got the experience of being award-winning writers themselves, so they know what it's like. Read the stuff, get their advice, but more importantly, always be writing.
Yeah, definitely. That's the biggest thing. Again, practice, practice, practice.
It's true.
It always comes back to it. I think in terms of writing, it's as well as it being really important that you write, I think you also need to read. You know, you need to be able to read other people's stuff and really critically look at it and say what you like about theirs and what you don't, and being able to take the things you like and seeing if, you know, maybe you could incorporate that into your own writing, or if you're making some of the pitfalls that you see in their work, and really being able to, you know, have a step back and have a look at your own stuff and at other people's stuff kind of in a distanced way, and be really critical about us.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
Oh, well, just actually on that point, I think the same could really be said for art, in terms of looking at other people's styles, because I think, you know, you can say that you're 100% original all you want, but I think, you know, all art is, to a certain degree, cannibalism. You're taking, you know, what you see and what you like, and you're putting it into your own work, whether it's subconsciously or consciously on purpose.
Yep.
So one of the things that you really can do... that I actually really, really recommend, and that'll, I think, you know, if I wasn't among such esteemed scholars of webcomics, I might get a bit of stick for this. But I think tracing other people's work, obviously not putting it online and saying it's yours, but just in a sketchbook or for practice, tracing over other people's work can really, really help out how you work. Because there's a difference between looking at how someone draws hands, for example, and tracing over it and really getting a feel for how they draw it.
True.
Because drawing's all muscle memory, you know what I mean? Once you know how to draw that hand, it's like riding a bike. It just happens. And I'm going to be really pretentious, but I really want to use like an anecdote that I learned at college about Hunter S. Thompson, who was a journalist and a novelist. He wrote a book called Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, and he's considered by many to be like a great writer of his generation. But when he was a young reporter, he really idolized Ernest Hemingway and George Orwell. So what he did, instead of doing his job at the New York Times, being a copy boy, he sat down and he typed out all of their books over and over and over again, so he could really get a feel for how they wrote and how they constructed sentences and all that. So it's the same if you're tracing over another artist's work. You're really getting a feel for how they do it every step of the way. And it's giving you a much more authentic experience, and it's giving you a much better learning experience than just having a look at it and trying it yourself later on.
You know, you're going to get a lot of comments for saying that. Because
www.webcomics.co. Or you can go straight to Luke's site, www.swanyduke.com. You don't have comments enabled on your site.
No, I have an email address, though. Feel free to find that and send them to me. I love hate mail, although I've never gotten any.
You will from
that. To be honest, as long as you go to a convention and tell everybody that you're working on a brand new DC title and then sell off all those traces as your own, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. Don't.
I drew Wonder Woman, but with shorts again, you guys.
I haven't actually done the tracing or grayscale, but I've sometimes said, right, I will draw this image just visually looking at it at a time, trying something. I think there is you should base your entire art on imitation, or else you will just end up being a second rate John Allison, or a second rate Mark Elby, or whatever. I think there is a.
You'll just end up being Tim Buckley, and who'd want to be Tim Buckley?
Ugh, only Tim Buckley wants to be Tim Buckley.
You know, when
I still highly doubt that Tim Buckley wants to be Tim Buckley. To be honest,
he doesn't. Tim Buckley wants to be Mike Krahelnik.
He might be listening right now, and. Oh, this was a really good podcast because I've been
a friend of mine.
I don't even know who he is, to be honest. I just wanted to crack wise, you guys.
A friend of mine bought me a present. I have a little black book, and it says in on the front of it in gold type, "People I want to punch in the face." because a friend of mine knew that I was having a hard time at work recently, and I was getting rather stressed, and he bought me this present as a bit of a joke present, and it made me laugh, but on the front page I wrote Tim Buckley, and I have now started the book.
I think we're coming towards the end, so yeah. If you're listening and have a particular improvements, training technique, or book that you've read, or site that you've used, drop us a line through the Webcomics Company website, and we will probably address this at some later issue.
Yes, can I make like a really quick point about the tracing thing before I actually do get any hate mail,
mm-hmm.
if that were to happen? I was going to mention that. I know that I did, this is really where I learned it from, is tracing off photos of people. I found the most helpful.
Yeah.
Direct traces of the photos. Personally for me, I found it so handy, and that would be like my number one recommendation of where to start if you can't draw people, is trace them out of magazines, anything. But don't like put it online, because someone owns that photo, that's their image, and your trace is, that's not allowed. But you want to know how someone's face is, trace it.
Yes.
I'm going to get hate mail. All right.
Well, I'll tell you now, I know you're going to get someone commenting, because I got loads of hate mail when I said basically the same thing on the Webcomic Builder.
Awesome.
I really didn't have like one piece of hate mail. That was just because I might have drawn a little picture of Mohammed.
Well, as hate mail goes, that's
fine.
Oh, no one ever gets hate mail about that, Luke.
For the week, shall we?
Okay, as a final thing, guys, we've had an email from Steph of Sarah Zero at sarahzero.com, and he's talking about when we're talking about reading comics to make comics, and it seems quite appropriate to what we're talking about here. So if you don't mind, I'll read it out. Hello.
I have.
Hello! Can everybody hear me?
Yes, hello, sorry.
Did everyone just drop off there?
Yes.
Yes, it could be my fault. I think I'm hosting the call.
Okay. Uh-huh. Well, sorry. I can see myself on the video now, so... Oh, dear.
Yeah, you even enabled video somehow.
I don't think I have, but I'll turn it off.
I can see half of your face.
Oh. Excellent.
We could end it literally on me saying the word practice over and over again there, or we can try and record a proper outro.
We could. Where did we cut off? Because I was just about to read out something from the mailbag. Did you guys get that bit?
No.
I haven't had to read it yet. Should we do include that at the top of the first?
It seemed quite appropriate to what we were talking about with terms of writing and trying to improve.
Okay.
Is it going to cause enough conversation to make this go horribly over time? I.e., should it be a new episode?
We could talk a bit. I suppose
Could we make like a short bonus episode?
Well, I was thinking that if it is something related to what we're talking to, we could wait to see if we get any response from the episode we've just recorded, and then include that response as well as this email and do kind of like a response bit, if you know what I mean.
All right, yeah, we can do that.
Because it might end up creating like half an episode, in which case we can tack on a mini topic at the end of it and create an entire episode.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Never want to waste content.
Well, yeah. So shall we say goodbye then?
Let's wrap it up.
Okay.
Oh, we should make sure to give James a shout out as well.
Definitely.
Okay. And that's about all that we have time for this evening. I say this evening, that's when we're recording. You may be listening to this at the crack of dawn as you wake early to rise to begin work practicing on your comics all day. Just say that we have been missing today James Spence of girlsinspace.com.
.co.uk.
I apologize. I'm terrible at this. I have been Luke Searle of lukesearle.com.
I have been Matt Dyson of mukio.com.
Please address your hate mail to luke@swannynook.com.
And I've been Zoe Kirk Robinson of Olive the House and Life of Naughty Mouse and Ink Puff Cannon, and you can find them all linked to at zoerobinson.com.
You've been listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. You can find us at webcomics.co. Do let us know what you think, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Webcomics Company podcast. See you in 2 weeks' time.
We could end it literally on me saying the word practice over and over again. Practice, 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 practice.